Good morning, Mishpachah. Welcome to the Daily Audio Torah. I'm Laura Densmore, your host, and I'm so glad you're joining in with me today. Journey with me through the entire Bible in 1 year, focusing on the biblical calendar, the Sabbath, the feasts, and the Torah reading cycle. In this broadcast, you will be listening to 2 days of readings from the Scriptures. If you would like to listen every day, just go to dailyaudiotorah.com and listen in. We have many voices, interpretations, and points of view out there, but there is nothing like listening to the crystal clean, pure Word of God in your life. It is living water for your spirit. As it is written in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now let's continue our journey through the entire Bible in 1 year. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Blessed be the name of the glory of his kingdom forever and ever. Amen. Deuteronomy 5:16-33. Honor your father and your mother as Hashem your God has commanded you, that you may long endure, and that you may fare well in the land that Hashem your God is assigning to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not crave your neighbor's house, or his field, or his male or female slave, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Hashem spoke these words, those and no more, to your whole congregation at the mountain, with a mighty voice out of the fire and the dense clouds. He inscribed them on 2 tablets of stone, which he gave to me. When you heard the voice out of the darkness, while the mountain was ablaze with fire, you came up to me, all your tribal heads and elders, and said, Hashem our God has shown us his majestic presence, and we have heard his voice out of the fire. We have seen this day that man may live through Hashem has spoken to him. Let us not die then, for his fearsome fire will consume us. If we do hear the voice of Hashem our God any longer, we shall die. For what mortal ever heard the voice of the living Hashem speak out of the fire as we did and lived? You go closer and hear all that Hashem our God says, and then you tell us everything that Hashem our God tells you, and we will willingly do it. Hashem heard the plea that you made to me, and Hashem said to me, I have heard the plea that this people made to you, but they did well to speak thus. May they always be of such mind to revere me and follow all my commandments, that it may go well with them and with their children forever. Go say to them, return to your tents. But you remain here with me, and I will give you the whole instruction, the laws and the rules that you shall impart to them, for them to observe in the land that I am giving them to possess. Be careful then to do as Hashem your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Follow only the path that Hashem your God has enjoined upon you, so that you may thrive and that it may go well with you, and that you may long endure in the land you are to possess. Nehemiah 1:1-3:14. The narrative of Nehemiah, son of Kakaliah. In the month of Kislev of the 20th year, when I was in the fortress of Shushan, Hanani, one of my brothers, together with some men of Yehuda, arrived, and I asked them about the Yehudim, the Jews, the remnant who had survived the captivity, and about Jerusalem. They replied, "The survivors who have survived the captivity there in the province are in dire trouble and disgrace. Jerusalem's wall is full of breaches, and its gates have been destroyed by fire." When I heard that, I sat and wept, and was in mourning for days, fasting and praying to the God of heaven. I said, Hashem, God of heaven, great and awesome Hashem who stays faithful to his covenant with those who love him and keep his commandments. Let your ear be attentive and your eyes open to receive the prayer of your servant that I am praying to you now, day and night, on behalf of the Israelites, your servants, confessing the sins that we Israelites have committed against you, sins that I and my father's house have committed. We have offended you by not keeping the commandments, the laws, and the rules that you gave to your servant Moses. Be mindful of the promise you gave to your servant Moses. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you turn back to me, faithfully keep my commandments, even if you are dispersed, are at the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen to establish my name. For they are your servants and your people whom you redeemed by your great power and your mighty hand. O Hashem, let your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and to the prayer of your servants who desire to hold your name in awe. Grant your servant success today and dispose that man to be compassionate toward him. I was the king's cupbearer at the time. In the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of King Artaxerxes, wine was set before him. I took the wine and gave it to the king. I had never been out of sorts in his presence. The king said to me, "How is it that you look bad, though you are not ill? It must be bad thoughts." I was very frightened, but I answered the king, "May the king live forever. How should I not look bad when the city of the graveyard of my ancestors lies in ruins and its gates have been consumed by fire?" The king said to me, "What is your request?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I answered the king, "If it please the king, and if your servant has found favor with you, send me to Yehuda, to the city of my ancestors' graves, to rebuild it." With the consort seated at his side, the king said to me, "How long will you be gone, and when will you return?" So it was agreeable to the king to send me, and I gave him a date. Then I said to the king, "If it please the king, let me have letters to the governors of the province of beyond the river, directing them to grant me passage until I reach Yehuda. Likewise, a letter to Asaph, the keepers of the king's park, directing him to give me timber for roofing the gatehouses of the temple fortress and the city walls, and for the house I shall occupy. The king gave me these, thanks to my God's benevolent care for me. When I came to the governors of the province of beyond the river, I gave them to the king's letters. The king also sent army officers and cavalry with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant heard, it displeased them greatly that someone had come intent on improving the condition of the Israelites. I arrived in Jerusalem, and after I was there 3 days, I got up at night, I and a few men with me, and telling no one what my God had put into my mind to do so for Jerusalem, and taking no other beast than the one on which I was riding, I went out by the valley gate at night toward the jackal's spring and the dung gate, and I surveyed the walls of Jerusalem that were breached, and its gates, consumed by fire. I proceeded to the fountain gate and to the king's pool, where there was no room for the beast under me to continue. So I went up the wadi by night, surveying the wall, and entering again by the valley gate, I returned. The prefects knew nothing of where I had gone or what I had done, since I had not yet divulged it to the Jews, the Kohanim, the nobles, the prefects, or the rest of the officials. Then I said to them, "You see the bad state we are in, Jerusalem lying in ruins, and its gates destroyed by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and suffer no more disgrace." I told them of my God's benevolent care for me, also of the things that the king had said to me, and they said, "Let us start building." They were encouraged by his benevolence. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite servant and Geshem the Arab heard, they mocked us and held us in contempt and said, "What is this that you are doing? Are you rebelling against the king?" I said to them in reply, "The God of heaven will grant us success, and we, his servants, will start building. But you have no share or claim or stake in Jerusalem." Then Eliashiv, the Kohen Gadol, and his fellow Kohanim set to rebuild the sheep gate, They consecrated it and set up its doors, consecrating it as far as the Hundred's Tower, as far as the Tower of Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. Next to them, Zakur, son of Imri. The sons of Hasaniah rebuilt the Fish Gate. They roofed it and set up its doors, locks, and bars. Next to them, Meremoth, son of Uriah, son of Hakoz, repaired. And next to him, Meshulam, son of Baraka, son of Meshezabel. Next to him, Zadok, son of Bana, repaired. Next to him, the Tekoites repaired, though their nobles would not take upon their shoulders the work of their lord. Joida, son of Paseah, and Meshulam, son of Besodiah, repaired the Jeshana gate. They roofed it and set up its doors, locks, and bars. Next to them, Melatiah the Givonite and Jadon the Merathite repaired with the men of Givon and Mitzpah under the jurisdiction of the governor of the province of beyond the river. Next to them, Uzziel, son of Harhaiah, the smiths, repaired. Next to him, Hananiah of the perfumers. They restored Jerusalem as far as the broad wall. Next to them, Raphaiah, son of Hur, chief of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired. Next to him, Jediah, son of Harumaph, repaired in front of his house. Next to him, Hattush, son of Hashbaniah, repaired. Malkijah, son of Haram and Hashub, son of Pahath-Moab, repaired a second stretch, including the Tower of Ovens. Next to them, Shalom, son of Halosheh, chief of half the district of Jerusalem, repaired, he and his daughters. Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah repaired the valley gate. They rebuilt it and set up its doors, locks, and bars. And they also repaired 1,000 amot of wall to the dung gate. Malkijah, son of Rechab, chief of the district of Beth-Hasirim, repaired the dung gate. He rebuilt it and set up its doors, locks, and bars. 1 Corinthians 7, 1-24. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote to me, Paul, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render to the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife to the husband. The wife has not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband has not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud not one another, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. But I speak this by permission and not of commandment. For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, one after this manner and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. But if she does depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother has a wife that believes not, and she is pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which has a husband that believes not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. For what do you know, O wife, whether you shall give and save your husband? Or how do you know, O man, whether you shall save your wife? But as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord has called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is anyone called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Are you called being a servant? Care not for it, but if you may be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord's free man. Likewise, also he that is called, being free, is Yeshua's servant. You are bought with a price. Be not servants of men. Brethren, let every man wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Psalm 31:19-24. Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for them that fear you, which have wrought for them that trust in you before the sons of men. You shall hide them in the secret of your presence from the pride of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. O love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and plentifully rewards the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Proverbs 21:4. A high look and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. I'd like to speak to you today from the book of Nehemiah, chapters 1 through 3. And in this book, we see that Nehemiah is commissioned by the king with his blessing to go back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. And when Nehemiah first learns of the condition of the city and the temple, the wall is broken down, the gates are burned, everything's just destroyed, he is so grieved and so disheartened that the king sees in his countenance, his face, how sad he is. And the king asks, "What's wrong, Nehemiah?" And then Nehemiah prays and asks God to be with him, the Spirit to be with him. And he's honest and he tells the king what the problem is, why he's sad. So he's been given a divine assignment to rebuild the walls, to rebuild Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple. And it's not something that just one man can do. It takes a huge community of men and women working together to get this job done. And if God has ever given you a task or an assignment that's way bigger than you could ever possibly accomplish on your own, that it's so huge, you've definitely got to have a team to get it done. Now, there's one verse that just sparkles. It's a gem. I want to just point it out to you, and it's Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 9. Well, we'll start with verse 8. Be mindful of the promise you gave to your servant Moses. This is Nehemiah praying back to the Lord. If you are unfaithful, I will scatter you among the peoples. But if you turn back to me, faithfully keep my commandments, even if you're dispersed are at the ends of the earth, I will gather them from there and bring them to the place where I have chosen to establish my name. What is that place? That place is Israel. It is Jerusalem. The letter Sheen, which points us to El Shaddai, is literally engraved in the topography of Jerusalem. And if you could look down upon the land from above, like in an airplane view looking down, the Kidron Valley and two other valleys make the letter Sheen, and the Sheen kind of looks like a W, but with no points at the bottom. It's more rounded, like a handwriting W, not a printed W, the letter Sheen. It is embossed in the land itself, right in Jerusalem. And Sheen points us to El Shaddai. So this is a promise that God is saying he will gather all of his people when they return to him, when they repent, when they begin keeping his commandments, that he's promising to ingather them and bring them back to the land, to the place where he chooses to place his name. That promise is for you and for me, my friend. It is not just for the Jews. It is for the non-Jews, for the non-Jewish part of the nation of Israel that has been scattered to all the nations of the earth. He promises to ingather us. That's the sparkling jewel I wanted to point out to you. Then the next verse I want to look at, chapter 2, verse 17. Then I said to them, "You see the bad state we are in, Jerusalem lying in ruins and its gates destroyed by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem and suffer no more disgrace." The Israel Bible commentary to this verse reads as follows. One of the Jewish prayers recited on the ninth day of the Hebrew month of Av, the day of the destruction of the temple, states, "You destroyed Jerusalem by fire, so too will you rebuild it with fire." Near the Western Wall, archaeologists uncovered a complex destroyed in the Roman fires of 70 AD, and spear-pierced skeletal remains found there give silent testimony to the tragedy. Destruction by fire is comprehensible, but the idea of construction by fire is more difficult to understand. Perhaps it indicates the degree of passion necessary to engage in such a task. If this is the case, indeed, we have merited living in a time where the latter fire is burning brighter and many are answering Nehemiah's call, "Come, let us rebuild." So, the other thing I wanted to unpack is that in the New Testament, there are several scriptures, I believe in 1 Peter and other places, that it refers to God's people as we are the living stones and that Yeshua is the chief cornerstone. That these living stones come together and we become a living temple. So I'm not talking about a brick and mortar temple, but a spiritual temple. That each person is a spiritual temple and we house the Holy Spirit. Our heart is the altar where the Spirit dwells. And each individual is a living stone, and you bring a bunch of individuals together, those are all the living stones coming together. But what happens is that in families, there can be dysfunction, toxic relationships, divorce, abuse, alcoholism, division, and strife. And families can become absolutely annihilated, destroyed, estrangement, alienation. And so what does it take to restore a family, to restore broken relationships? Well, what did it take in Nehemiah's time? A community of people who had one purpose, to rebuild and restore the wall. And the walls of our nation and of our churches, of our communities, have been fallen into disrepair, and there are many gaps. In fact, when we look at the southern border of the United States, many different states and regions are saying this is an all-out invasion, that there are tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands and millions of illegal aliens coming across the border and willy-nilly, and a lot of them are drug lords, they're into human trafficking, criminals, and it's an invasion because the wall, there is no wall and there's no barrier. And so walls are there to protect. In ancient times, walls were there to protect the city. But when the walls are broken down, the enemy can get right in and destroy, to rob, kill, and destroy. And so walls are like boundaries. And when you have healthy boundaries, you can have a healthy relationship. But when the boundaries are broken, when the wall is broken, that's when toxic stuff comes in. When people treat one another rudely, disrespectfully, when they cuss, when they curse, when they are defiant, rebellious, contemptible, this is very toxic, very unhealthy, very damaging and destructive. And so those walls, those boundaries have to be rebuilt. And what are the boundaries? Well, the Ten Commandments, honor your mother and your father so that things will go well for you in the land of the living. That's a basic. And love one another. Treat one another with kindness and with respect. And when the respect goes out the window, when the kindness is gone, and there's just yelling and screaming and abuse and disrespect, that's when all the demons are let loose and the walls are broken down and there's toxic in the relationships. So repairing and rebuilding and restoring, Nehemiah began with walls, began with the walls, and then you can build on the inside. And I think it's the same way in human relationships. You have to start with setting healthy boundaries. And then from there, you can restore. So that's my take on today's reading. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom. Deuteronomy 7:1-11. When Hashem your God brings you to the land that you are about to enter and possess, and he dislodges many nations before you, the Hittites, Girgashites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, seven nations, much larger than you, and Hashem your God delivers them to you, and you defeat them, you must doom them to destruction, grant them no terms, and give them no quarter. You shall not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons, or take their daughters for your sons. For they will turn your children away from me to worship other gods. And Hashem's anger will blaze forth against you, and he will promptly wipe you out. Instead, this is what you shall do to them. You shall tear down their altars, smash their pillars, cut down their sacred posts, and consign their images to the fire. For you are a people consecrated to Hashem your God. Of all the peoples on earth, Hashem your God chose you to be his treasured people. It is not because you are the most numerous of peoples that Hashem set his heart on you and chose you. Indeed, you are the smallest of peoples. But it was because Hashem favored you and kept the oath he made to your fathers that Hashem freed you with a mighty hand and rescued you from the house of bondage, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that only Hashem your God is Hashem, the steadfast Hashem who keeps his covenant faithfully to the thousandth generation of those who love him and keep his commandments, but who instantly requites with destruction those who reject him, never slow with those who reject him, but requiting them instantly. Therefore, observe faithfully the instructions, the law and the rules with which I charge you today. Nehemiah 5:14-7:73. Furthermore, from the day I was commissioned to be governor in the land of Yehuda, from the 20th year of King Artaxerxes until his 32nd year, 12 years in all, neither I nor my brothers ever ate of the governor's food allowance. The former governors who preceded me laid heavy burdens on the people, and took from them, for bread and wine, more than 40 shekels of silver. Their servants also tyrannized over the people, but I, out of the fear of Hashem, did not do so. I also supported the work on this wall. We did not buy any land, and all my servants were gathered there at the work. Although there were at my table between Yehudim and prefects 150 men in all, beside those who came to us from surrounding nations, and although what was prepared for each day came to one ox, six select sheep, and fowl, all prepared for me, and at 10-day intervals, all sorts of wine in abundance. Yet I did not resort to the governor's food allowance, for the king's service by heavily on the people. O my God, remember to my credit all that I have done for this people. When word reached Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, and not a breach remained in it, though at that time I had not yet set up doors in the gateways. Sanballat and Geshem sent a message to me, saying, "Come, let us get together in Kephirim in the Ono Valley. They plan to do me harm." I sent them messengers, saying, "I am engaged in a great work and cannot come down, for the work will stop if I leave it in order to come down to you." They sent me the same message four times, and I gave them the same answer. Sanballat sent me the same message a fifth time by his servant who had an open letter with him. Its text was, "Word has reached the nations, and Geshem, too, says that you and the Yehudim, the Jews, are planning to rebel, for which reason you are rebuilding the wall, and that you are to be their king. Such is the word. You have also set up the Nevi'im in Jerusalem to proclaim about you there is a king in Yehuda. Word of these things will surely reach the king. So come, let us confer together." I sent back a message to him saying, "None of these things you mentioned has occurred. They are figments of your imagination. For they all wished to intimidate us, thinking, they will desist from the work and it will not get done. Now strengthen my hands. Then I visited Shemaiah, son of Deliah, son of Mehetabel, when he was housebound, and he said, let us meet in the house of Hashem, inside the sanctuary, and let us shut the doors of the sanctuary, for they are coming to kill you. By night, they are coming to kill you. I replied, will a man like me take flight? Besides, who such as I can go into the sanctuary and live? I will not go in. Then I realized that it was not Hashem who sent him, but that he uttered the prophecy about me, Tobiah and Sanballat having hired him, because he was a hireling, that I might be intimidated and act thus and commit a sin, and so provide them a scandal with which to reproach me. O my God, remember against Tobiah and Sanballat these deeds of theirs, and against Noadiah the Nevi'ah, and against the other Nevi'im, that they wished to intimidate me. The wall was finished on the 25th of Elul, after 52 days. When all our enemies heard it, all the nations round about us were intimidated and fell very low in their own estimation. They realized that this work had been accomplished by the help of our God. Also, in those days, the nobles of Yehuda kept up a brisk correspondence with Tobiah, and Tobiah was with them. Many in Yehuda were his confederates, for he was a son-in-law of Shechaniah, son of Era, and his son Jehoiachin had married the daughter of Meshulam, son of Barakah. They would also speak well of him to me, and would divulge my affairs to him. Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. When the wall was rebuilt, and I had set up the doors, tasks were assigned to the gatekeepers, the singers, and the Levi'im. I put Hanani, my brother, and Hananiah, the captain of the fortress, in charge of Jerusalem, for he was a more trustworthy and Hashem-fearing man than most. I said to them, the gates of Jerusalem are not to be opened until the heat of the day, and before you leave your posts, let the doors be closed and barred, and assign the inhabitants of Jerusalem to watches, each man to his watch, and each in front of his own house. The city was broad and large. The people in it were few, and the houses were not yet built. My Hashem put it into my mind to assemble the nobles, the prefects, and the people, in order to register them by families. I found the genealogical register of those who were the first to come up, and there I found written, these are the people of the province who came up from among the captive exiles that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had deported, and who returned to Jerusalem and to Judah, each to his own city, who came with Zerubbabel, Yeshua, Nehemiah, Azariah, Ramiah, Nahamami, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mispareth, Bigvai, Nehum, Bana. The number of the men of the people of Israel, the sons of Parosh, 2,172, the sons of Shephatiah, 372, the sons of Ara, 652, the sons of Pahath Moab, the sons of Yeshua and Joab, 2,818, the sons of Elam, 1,254, the sons of Zattu, 845, the sons of Zakkai, 760, the sons of Benui, 648, the sons of Bebai, 628. The sons of Azgad, 2,322. The sons of Adonikam, 667. The sons of Bigvai, 2,067. The sons of Aden, 655. The sons of Ater, Hezekiah, 98. The sons of Hashum, 328. The sons of Bezai, 324. The sons of Harif, 112. The sons of Givon, 95. The men of Bethlehem and Netophah, 188. The men of Anatot, 128. The men of Beth Azmaveth, 42. The men of Kiriat Jearim, Kephira, and Beeroth, 743. The men of Ramah and Geba, 621. The men of Michmas, 122. The men of Bet El and Ai, 123. The men of the other Nebo, 52. The sons of the other Elam, 1,254. The sons of Harim, 320. The sons of Jericho, 345. The sons of Lod, Hadid, and Ono, 721. The sons of Sena, 3,930. The Kohanim, the sons of Jediah, the house of Yeshua, 973. The sons of Immer, 1,052. The sons of Pasher, 1,247. The sons of Harim, 1,017. The Leviim, the sons of Yeshua, Kadmiel, the sons of Hodiah, 74. The singers, the sons of Asaph, 148. The gatekeepers, the sons of Shallum, the sons of Ater, the sons of Talmon, the sons of Akub, the sons of Hatita, the sons of Shobai, 138. The temple servants, the sons of Ziha, the sons of Hasufa, the sons of Tabaoth, the sons of Keros, the sons of Zia, the sons of Palon, the sons of Labana, the sons of Hagaba, the sons of Shalmai, the sons of Hanan, the sons of Gidei, the sons of Gabar, the sons of Ria, the sons of Rezin, the sons of Nakoda, the sons of Gazam, the sons of Uza, the sons of Pasea, the sons of Basai, the sons of Meunim, the sons of Nephisheshim, the sons of Babak, the sons of Hakupa, the sons of Harbor, the sons of Basla, the sons of Mahida, the sons of Harsha, the sons of Barkos, the sons of Sisera, the sons of Tima, the sons of Naziah, the sons of Hatifa, the sons of Shlomo, servants, the sons of Sotai, the sons of Sophereth, the sons of Parida, the sons of Jala, the sons of Darkon, the sons of Gidei, the sons of Shephatiah, the sons of Hatil, the sons of Pokereth Hazabam, the sons of Ammon, the total of temple servants and the sons of Solomon's servants, 392. The following were those who came up from Tel Mila, Tel Harsha, Cherub, Adam, and Immer. They were unable to tell whether their father's house and descent were Israelite. The sons of Deliah, the sons of Tobiah, the sons of Nakoda, 642. Of the Kohanim, the sons of Habiah, the sons of Hekos, the sons of Barzillai, who had married a daughter of Barzillai, the Gileadite, and had taken his name. These searched for their genealogical records, but they could not be found, so they were disqualified for the priesthood. The Tirshatha ordered them not to eat of the most holy things until a Kohen with the Urim and Thummim should appear. The sum of the entire community was 42,360, not counting their male and female servants, these being 7,337. They also had 245 male and female singers, their horses, 736, their mules, 245 camels, 435 donkeys, 6,720. Some of the heads of the clans made donations for the work. The Tirshatha donated to the treasury gold, 1,000 drachmas, basins, 50 priestly robes, 530. Some of the heads of the clans donated to the work treasury gold, 20,000 drachmas and silver, 2,200 manim. The rest of the people donated gold, 20,000 drachmas, silver, 2,000, and priestly robes, 67. The Kohanim and the Leviim, the gatekeepers, the singers, some of the people, the temple servants, and all Israel took up residence in their towns. When the seventh month arrived, the Israelites being settled in their towns. 1 Corinthians 8, 1-13. Now as touching things offered to idols, we know that we have all knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If any man thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing, yet as he ought to know. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice to idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach, by whom all things, and we by him. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commends us not to God, for neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see you, which has knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through your knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when you sin so against the brethren and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Yeshua. Therefore, if meat make my brother to be offended, I will eat no flesh while the world stands, lest I make my brother to offend. Psalm 33:1-11. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing to him with psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loves righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the heathen to naught. He makes the devices of the people of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Proverbs 21:8-10. The way of man is froward and strange, but as for the pure, his work is right. It is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. The soul of the wicked desires evil. His neighbor finds no favor in his eyes. I'd like to speak to you today from our Torah portion from Deuteronomy 7, and then we're going to jump into Nehemiah chapter 5 and 6. And in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 and verses 8, let's zoom in on those two verses. For you are a people consecrated to Hashem your God. Of all the peoples on earth, Hashem your God chose you to be his treasured people. Verse 8. But it was because Hashem favored you and kept the oath he made to your fathers that Hashem freed you with a mighty hand and rescued you from the house of bondage, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So there's two very powerful principles here that I want to unpack. The first principle is that we are his treasured people. And it's not because of anything being that we were the most numerous or that we are the best or anything. No, it was simply the sovereign will of God to choose Israel, his people, all 12 tribes, to be his treasured possession. So you, my friend, and I, we are his treasured possession. We are his betrothed. We are his bride-to-be. The other principle here is found in verse 8, that Hashem freed us with a mighty hand and rescued us from the house of bondage, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Anytime you hear a reference, mighty hand and outstretched arm, that's a hidden message there. It's a remez hint pointing us to Yeshua. God the Father is like the chief executive officer. He's the CEO in charge. Yeshua is his right hand. He executes and implements the Father's will. He does it perfectly. He does it just on time. He's absolutely obedient. And so with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, the children of Israel were delivered out of Egypt. And that mighty hand and that outstretched arm is a reference to Yeshua. The cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, that was a manifestation of Yeshua. So another picture that comes from this verse is that we all start our journey by being a slave in Egypt. Before we came to know Yeshua as our Savior, we all were slaves in the world, in bondage to sin, and in bondage to a Pharaoh. And if you can think about what life was like before you were saved, before you asked Yeshua to come into your heart, and reflect on that, what it was like to be in that condition, I never want to go back to that. And so we all start in Egypt in our journey, and then Yeshua delivers us out of bondage, out of slavery, and takes us out of Egypt. And we begin our new journey in Christ, walking in the Spirit. However, there is a literal promised land that we will one day get to live in. We are all on a journey. Now, some people in the mainstream Christian world come out of Egypt, they get saved, they apply the blood of Yeshua to the doorposts of their heart, they ask Yeshua to come in, and he's now their Savior. And they come out of Egypt, and they camp at Mount Sinai, and they just stay there. They don't go any farther. But that's just the beginning of the journey and not the end. Salvation begins the journey. It's not the end of the journey. And so, as we look at the feasts and the feasts that we celebrate, they are a picture, they're like milestones of this spiritual journey. We come to Mount Sinai, to Shavuot, and we receive the Ten Commandments, but now we receive them by the Spirit. And on Shavuot, or also known as Pentecost, when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came in the upper room, and there were tongues of fire and a great wind, the Torah, the covenant, the marriage covenant, was being transferred from two stone tablets, and now it's going to go straight into the people's hearts. So now, as the Torah is being written upon our heart, we can walk it out and live it out by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. What's the next place in our spiritual journey? Next, we come to Yom Teruah, or Feast of Trumpets, and then we come to Day of Atonement, and then we come to Feast of Tabernacles. And these are all the fall feasts, Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. And so we are literally on a journey. When the Great Tribulation begins, it will last for 1,260 days, Revelation chapter 12. It will begin on a future Passover, just like the original Exodus happened at Passover. The final greater Exodus will happen on a future Passover. It will begin at a future Passover, and it will end, the 1,260 days will end as we come into Sukkot. So the very first feast that we will keep and celebrate as we begin that rule and reign with Yeshua will be Feast of Tabernacles or Sukkot. So it literally is a journey, and Yeshua is with us every step of the way. So we need to be careful not to get our roots embedded too deeply into this world, into a house or a mortgage or a place. We need to tread lightly and remember that we are pilgrims just passing through, and that this place is not our home, but our ultimate home is Israel. It is Jerusalem, where Yeshua will rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's our destination, and may we keep the eternal heavenly Jerusalem always in our sights, in our mind's eye, and in our heart. Have a blessed day, and we'll see you tomorrow. Shalom.
Mereka Yahweh Adonai Panavilaka Vikuneka Isa Adonai Panav Hileka Vayaseleka Leka Shalom.
The Aaronic Blessing from Numbers chapter 6, 24 to 26. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.